You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
I was kind of, have you ever been on the Harry Potter wiki page where it's, I don't mean on Wikipedia, I mean the official Harry Potter wiki?
Absolutely not.
It's a giant time suck hole of like where every single other word is lit up that you can click on and find where that goes and everything at triangles. What family is that guy from? And this and this. This was like watching a live action version of the Harry Potter.
Oh my God.
That's so accurate. I was like, there is more lore in this movie than a fucking Star Wars prequel.
Dude, it's funny. A guy I know is like, had posted right after he saw it. He's like, oh, I loved it. And yeah, he texted me. He's like, what'd you think? I was like, I decidedly did not care for it. And there was a long pause and he goes, this is going to be like the prequels again, isn't it? I was like, yeah, I think it is.
It is such a prequel movie. It has great music. It has like a bunch of CG, but it doesn't have a fucking story.
And that was my thing coming out of it. I feel like they should have titled it Fantastic Beasts Attack of the Clones, because it had just as much lack of plot progression or any actual like story that wasn't just blanket exposition.
Yeah, it's all exposition.
Yeah. Well, we are reviewing Fantastic Beasts 2, The Crimes of Grindelwald. I'm Chris.
I'm Ian.
I'm Zach.
I'm Taylor.
I was super excited to see this because I am actually a big Harry Potter dork.
Yeah. Me
I mean,
too.
Totally.
I'm wearing Ravenclaw shoes.
Nice. I have a couple wands in the back over there.
She made me take the sorting house quiz.
Sorting
like,
hat
quiz, like on the way to the movie.
Nice. Well done.
I got Gryffindor.
He's a Gryffindor.
So,
yeah, you know, you were aiming for that though, weren't you?
I was like,
see, I know enough about what all the houses would work, like the kind of people they would want, that I always get what I want, which is Ravenclaw when I do that.
I thought I was going to get Slytherin.
You're going to get like the nerdy, like math guy, which is not me at all, but that's the cool house. That's Ravenclaw.
Enigma of houses.
They're the ones who actually enjoy reading through all the arcane texts and translating it.
They wrote this movie.
They
like
the
don't
lore.
Say that.
We want a movie about lore and nothing else. We want politics.
Yeah, people talked about Bohemian Rhapsody being a Wikipedia article of a movie. No, this man.
It's like you don't
this
know
right here.
You don't know what you're talking about until you've seen The Crimes of Grindelwald. Which isn't to say I'm throwing the entire thing under the bus. There's actually a few moments that I was like, oh, I really liked that moment. Like a couple lines of dialogue that were quite good.
Yeah.
But they're so few and far between. All right, so if you've seen the first one, what it's just called Fantastic Beasts and
Where to Find Them.
Where to Find Them, which is following around Eddie Redmayne's character of Newt Scamander, or whatever. who's everybody wants him to get a real job, but he just is like obsessed with like magical animals, and so he's really good with them. Anyway, a bunch of shit happens. I'm not going to tell you the whole story of that movie. If you didn't see it, by all means, you cannot step into the second film. I am religiously familiar with all the Harry Potter films, and I was fucking lost in this movie.
See, it's funny you say that, because I feel like, again, without going too into spoilers, I feel like this movie undoes a lot of like the plot points and developments that the last movie made.
Yeah,
this almost felt like he could just come in here and the first movie didn't matter.
Well, if you remember the last movie, Colin Farrell ended up not being Colin Farrell, and everyone's great chagrin ended up being secretly Johnny Depp, which was like, oh man, seriously?
But in this movie, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in this movie that's like pretty good. Like the acting, pretty good. Like, well, I said, the score, pretty great.
It's a great collection of actors, and I even got to give Johnny Depp props. As Grindelwald, he does a great job.
Didn't wear a hat.
That's no silly hat. But
did he have funny eyes, though?
Yeah.
He still got that. It's like his one eye is like a tribute to his buddy Tim Burton there. Yeah. His one
I'd like
off
to think
eye.
He keeps that contact lens in his back pocket at all times.
For emergencies.
So in different movies, he's like, hey, can I use this now?
No, put it away.
They're like, wait, you don't have a hat for me? Hold on real quick.
You're Tonto. You don't have a David Bowie eye. Put that away.
But we saw he got captured the last one. The beginning of this is basically him escaping from magical transport to prison, which you know is going to go wrong, because in any movie a prisoner is being transported, they're about to break out. It's like end of story. There's never one where that goes flawlessly and everyone's fine.
I would love to see that, though. Make a new Halloween movie where they transfer Michael and nothing wrong.
And it's all good. He's in the new place.
You just watch his execution. You're like,
yeah. The movie's 40 minutes long. That's it.
It's kind of a dull film, I think, though. But so he's out there and everybody's freaking out and everyone's like, we got to catch this guy. And he's got tons of followers, because his whole argument is, like, he's same thing as Voldemort, except he's more slimy about it. It's like, no, I'm not saying kill humans. No, of course not. You know, whatever. But let's face it, we should be in charge. And he makes a Thanos-like point when he shows everyone, hey, guess what's coming? And shows them a slideshow of World War II, which at this date hasn't happened yet. And they're all like, Jesus Christ, fucking humans are crazy. So you're like, hey, I'm at least a little bit on Grindelwald's side here. You know, that's coming from someone who deep inside feels like I'm not a fucking dirty mudblood.
You know, it's funny. You walking through that whole, his whole plot and what that meant, like in that 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It was way easier to follow than it was in this actual movie, where by that point I was like, is anybody really going to follow this guy?
Well, there's like too many characters. Like,
there's a ton of characters.
And they're like, but this character is related to this character. And you're like, but well, I don't.
They bring back Catherine Waterston, who's Tina Goldstein, who's a Auror from the first film, who had kind of a meet cute with,
they brought
with
back
Eddie Redmayne. Dan Fogler, they brought back with the lamest fucking excuse. They was just like, oh, well, you know, the spell only makes you forget the bad stuff. And he's like, but I enjoyed every minute of it, so
also,
I didn't forget
anything.
I feel
like that's not true.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that feels like
I've seen that movie. He didn't enjoy all that.
And then Queenie, who is the kind of like dunderheaded sister of Catherine Waterston, who is dating Dan Fogler for reasons that are beyond any audience member. Ezra Miller, who was sort of the third man of the last movie, the magical thing they were all seeking, is out and about, and everybody wants to find him.
And I still don't care.
Yeah. And people are like, why does WB continue to be like, this is our guy, we're gonna put money on him.
Yeah.
And the audience is like,
he's not the Flash, he's not a center point of a Harry Potter film. You got Zoe Kravitz, who I do very much like, playing Leta Lestrange, who was insinuated at in the last movie. Like, look, there's a picture of Zoe Kravitz.
With about as much subtlety as, hey, it's a picture of Zoe Kravitz.
Who we all know her family isn't great, but she's struck between, one of those characters kind of stuck between loyalties. We see Newt's brother, Theseus, played by Callum Turner, who works for the Aurors, and he's kind of a, I don't know, he seems like he was kind of a frat boy, right? Well, and he seemed like a hazer.
In the first one, they like talk about how he was kind of like a warrior in some Dragon Wars or some shit. Right?
Yeah, something like that.
He was
like
a badass. And they like, they're like, well, no, that was my brother. That wasn't me being badass. Well, there's like a whole scene.
Right.
In the first one.
And there's a whole thing where like, oh, they both used to love Leta. And it was like, okay, which is just kind of like, what purpose does this serve?
Oh, all because this? When the last act happens, you need to feel something.
I guess. Then you've got Nagini, played by Claudia Kim. Now, if you're like, Nagini? Wasn't that the name of Voldemort's snake? Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Because Harry Potter fans everywhere were like, you know, we feel like we're not complete until we see is the origin of Voldemort's fucking snake.
The origin of Boba Fett and Jango Fett in this movie.
And this is the point that the Harry Potter series, for me, started going full of George Lucas. Because remember that great moment at the end of Deathly Hallows and Neville jumps out of nowhere and like Kool-Aid mans his way through that snake? Well, guess what? That moment's been shit all over now. Because, oh, guess what? There's a person in there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Jude Law playing the not even young, he's like late 40s version of Albus Dumbledore, which just says to me the studio's like, well, in case we want to do another prequel series later, we can have a totally different actor play him in his 20s.
But I thought he killed it, though.
He was great.
Really good.
I wish there was more of him in this movie.
Yeah. And I wish his beard looked more real.
And you keep asking yourself, why isn't there more Albus? Well, they have a stupid fucking plot device reason for it that promises considerably more Albus Dumbledore in the next film.
Well,
but
there's
also, like, part of the problem is that it's just there's so many little weird things that this movie is trying to tie together, both from, like, very obscure mentioned characters from the original series. I mean, like, there's a lot of, like, characters that were, like, the authors of books at the school that now are characters in the fucking thing.
Well, that's the whole premise of Fantastic Beasts is Newt Scamander. I don't care. He wrote a textbook. Like, why are there movies about
Who's
him?
The old dude?
That's Nicholas Flamel.
Nicholas Flamel, yeah.
Who actually is based on a real person, apparently, but not so much this version, but he's an alchemist and he's like immortal or what have you. And they do him as
like a book of alchemy. Is he like,
he's kind of like in the potions class. They mention him a lot.
I think they talk about him in the first book a lot because it was about the philosopher's stone or the sorcerer's stone. And
right.
Cause
you like knew that shit and you were like,
I was like, that's Nicholas Flamel.
And I was like, okay.
They play him as like a weirdly doddering old man. I was like, oh, that's not really what I pictured here, I guess.
But the Muppet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Something about his face. Really
I was like, is Tilda Swinton in there?
Oh,
savage!
I was just thinking that.
Tilda Swinton, Edgar Winter, and a Muppet. There you go.
All made of baby.
I wish I could tell you what the plot of this thing is, other than everybody is chasing both Grindelwald and this kid played by what's his face,
Ezra Miller,
Credence Barebone, in the mystery where Credence is all like, "I got left in the dude's car, and then I got stolen." No, he's not. Sorry, it's a very obscure Big Lebowski joke. Sorry. At least they left you the Credence, dude. He is wondering what his past and his story is, so therefore we have to wonder. And that's kind of this movie constantly, like, I had to keep being reminded that's what he's doing, because I couldn't give a fuck. He was like, I want to find out who my real parents were, because in the first movie, the person watching over him was a real anti-magic bitch.
Yeah.
And, like horrible person. He's like, well, I must come from royalty. It's like, okay, thank you, Ray. And it just circles around and around and goes in so many weird directions. And there's so much. There's one scene specifically about his past where they're like, oh, we're coming to the thing. This guy goes on for 10 minutes explaining what his whole past is. And then another character goes, actually, that's wrong. And they do it again with the actual right. And you're like, what are you fucking doing, movie?
And that's the thing. Like, this is the director of this is David Yates. And this is, what, his, like, sixth one of these in a row?
Yeah, and generally speaking, he's pretty damn good at this.
Yeah, but I feel like with this movie, it feels like he's just kind of run out of tricks. And he's like, I don't know. Let's end the movie with a monologue in a mausoleum for 20 minutes. Yeah. I don't know. I'm out of ideas.
The script is like, I don't think the direction is that bad.
It's no,
like
it's not
the,
bad.
The script
it's just,
is just awful. Like, yeah. Why didn't they have one of those things at the beginning of the movie to where you don't get like two exposition dumps for 20 fucking minutes?
It's ridiculous.
Like, set it up so where you think one thing is happening and then you have the twist. You don't have two twists that negate each. They literally just, no wait, never mind.
Yeah.
Like, you don't tell a story for 10 minutes and be like, yeah, but that actually didn't happen. I was like,
are you guys crazy? Why would you do that? Taylor, I gotta ask you, you're obviously more of an expert on the subject than I am. When they finally revealed who he was, I had the audience full of girls who went, and I was like,
yeah, they're pretending.
I was like, I've never heard of this character before. What?
And no,
they're,
he's in the, oh. Huh?
So, go. I can't remember Dumbledore's.
Well, no, don't say it. No spoilers.
Spoilers.
Well, then how am I supposed to answer your question?
Well, just all I mean is, did you remember them ever referencing it before?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I thought that was a different person.
Yeah, I think so too.
A different person.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it was a different name. But it was. I can't remember because that wasn't one that I read like 700 times.
And it really was one of these things. Like, I kept thinking about the fucking Star Wars prequels during it. That it's like the Homer's makeup shotgun full of CG blasted at the screen. There's CG. There's smat. It's like, in a way, you know, in the virtual movies, every time you got to see magic, it was like you had a sense of awe because it was the first time these kids were seeing it too. Yeah. They were in. This was all new to them. It was very exciting, and it was kind of like, you know, put out in bits and drabs. Here, everything is constantly fucking magic all the goddamn time. This is the whole the whole thing takes place in the IKEA of fucking magic, and it's just nonstop everywhere you go. Everything's doing stuff, and after a while, just nothing about it seems special anymore.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, going back to that Star Wars comparison, mm-hmm. I had that thought watching this. Is like, you know, because I was trying to figure out, like, why isn't this working like Harry Potter was? And it's because I don't care about these people, much like
exactly.
The Star Wars prequels. Yeah, there's so much razzle-dazzle on the screen, and they're trying to tell such a big story so quickly that they forget to have you invest time in those characters. So with this movie, where they spend most of the movie apart, it's like, well, I'm already having trouble caring about them because I barely got to know them last time, and you're putting in 15 more characters with 8 more subplots.
There should be a rule that's like the Bechdel rule, where, like movie is only feminist if two women only talk about something other than a man. There should be a rule like a movie is actually has a good screenplay if two characters can talk to each other without a giant exposition sequence in the middle of it.
Because it's a flashback back 20 years ago when we were at Hogwarts and I love both of these characters and who gives a shit.
It's just like they were trying to cram so much in that they felt like concern for time, so that every time they're doing something like, oh, look at this magical thing, well, oh, this actually serves a purpose to continue telling the story. It's like, sometimes you just want to see these characters having fun.
There's like no set
and interacting
pieces. There's like no there's like two set pieces. There's a really cool as fuck cat that's like a cat dragon. I dug that
was cool,
but there's not really anything other than that. The first one, the first Beasts or whatever, that had a ton of set pieces because it was like, it had a very contained plot. It's like monsters loose in New York and it's not about the lore. This movie is all about who liked what character and who's related to who and who is turns later into a fucking snake and all of this stuff. Like, it doesn't matter. None of that matters.
No way. Let's say five more times she's cursed to become a snake just to make sure everybody in the back gets
it. Did you miss that, people?
Show her become a snake and then not a snake again. It's stupid. And But I genuinely like Newt Scamander because he's, like, this character that doesn't want to be a part of this war. Like, there's something interesting to me about someone who's just, like...
Such a Hufflepuff.
Yeah, he gives so little shit about the human world that he's like, no, I'm even if there are good guys and bad guys in this war, like, I just want to do me. I just want to, like, save the animals.
He's got magical Asperger's for sure, yeah. Which is, like, he's super sweet, he's super smart, but he really only gives a shit about this one thing.
My favorite part is when there's a flashback to young Eddie Redmayne. Yeah. You have young Eddie Redmayne, who I felt like he just, like, watched Eddie Redmayne's performance and was like, how can I make this more full retard than it already is?
Jesus.
Because he just, like, goes right to fucking 11.
Yeah, I mean, I like him. He has this whole thing where he has trouble meeting people's eyes, and there's a lot of things that are definitely markers for autism that are in his performance, and there's no doubt they're intentional.
Yeah.
Like, no doubt at all. And I think he does a great job selling it. You genuinely really like this character that you just wish he had something more interesting to do.
The script doesn't trust it.
Yeah.
The script's like, no, but we got more characters.
I wish the movies were about him. Yeah. I'm like, you know, all this other stuff and Grindelwald's rise to power, like everything you said, like you saying with the first movie, oh, it's to contain like Monsters on the Loose movie. I wish this were that again.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
Or him and Dumbledore as a team the whole time.
Because Dumbledore's charming.
Yeah.
Like,
really... Jude Law gets out of it what he needs to
do. And Dumbledore is a character we're already familiar with. So you don't have to set up like who he is or what his character is. We're already on board.
Except for hot man on man sex. We want to see that shit. Hell yeah.
Oh, please.
Full that'll be male nudity.
That'll be in part four.
Yeah.
Full on penetration.
We're showing it.
From the worst angle.
From the worst angle.
From behind.
Yeah. They'll be like, what are they doing? Don't worry, it's magic. yes. Which is to say, yes, once again, guys who are hoping for it, they tease around flashback sequence with like him and Grindelwald getting it on, but not really.
Yeah.
Just, we were more than brothers.
Yeah, we were more than brothers. That's what does that mean?
I really wish you would have right after that turned and gone, we had sex, okay?
Yeah. We totally hooked up. For like months. I mean, there are still...
We did nothing. We broke so many fucking rooms.
You can still see stains on some of the mattresses in the dormitories is what I'm saying.
Cut back to Newt Scamander just looking horrified. Oh, God.
I much would have preferred to see a lot more Dumbledore, which presumably we'll get in the next movie. But like I said, this is just it's
that
just
Dumbledore. Can't
done with that Dumbledore.
Get that shit.
Oh, poor Taylor looks embarrassed.
The D.
Get that D.
it's just chaos through most of this, and there are nice moments whenever it's Eddie. Redmayne, who has to deal specifically with an animal, it's kind of cool. Like, the moment where he, like, the big Chinese dragon thing, when he's like, oh, I know immediately how to handle this. You're like, oh, Chinese dragon, I want one.
That's the only time he does something that, other than that, he's not really an active participant in this movie because this movie is about shit bigger than him. And it's like, Harry Potter did shit.
Yeah.
Like, he was active in the plot. This time, it's just... He's around things that happen.
I almost wish they would pull a Last Jedi with Ezra's character and just be like, oh, you thought he was important?
That'd be nice.
I was hoping they would have done that. It felt like they were about to, and then it was like, no, we're doing this.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, let's go to final thoughts. Ian, why don't you get us started?
That's the thing. Like, watching this movie, the only word that I had on my mind the entire time was just filler. All this is filler. Mm-hmm. You know, they keep saying, oh, this is a 5-movie arc, you know, da-da-da. And I'm watching this going like, no, this is like 3 movies worth of material right here. If you really want to boil it down to like plot stuff that happens, because nothing fucking happens in this movie.
Yeah.
it's like Half-Blood Prince if I didn't care about any of the characters, you know? I'm like, I don't care. Nothing's happening. And yeah, that's the thing. It's this thing with this movie, I'm not totally soured on this series, but it's going dangerously down Star Wars prequel territory, and I'm getting really worried.
Yeah.
Because coming out of this movie, the thought of, oh, three more from the same team...
Doesn't sound great.
Doesn't sound great at all.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they can pull it together in the next one. But, yeah, this movie, especially by the end, where they try to do, like, a faux, like, Wrath of Khan big cliffhanger thing, and it just totally carries no weight whatsoever. yeah, I'd probably give it five... exposition speeches that go on for 20 minutes out of 10.
Taylor?
So, before we left to go see this, I was kind of imagining that afterwards I was going to finally feel what all the Star Wars fans felt as the prequels were happening. Because I have never cared about Star Wars that much. And so I was like, this is what's going to happen. It's just going to be like a bastardization of what I grew to love about this. And I think the downfall of it is that it's not based on anything that we're already familiar with. The Harry Potter movies, obviously people had read the books, and so we're invested in these characters and we're excited to see how the book is going to get translated into a movie. And so that automatically is, you know, building this kind of excitement around how the movie's going to be. With these, we don't know what we're going to get. It could be awful. It could be good. We don't know who these characters are or where they're coming from, with the exception of a handful, like Dumbledore, who's not in this movie a whole lot. I feel like they're trying to throw in those characters and the fact that one character is a Lestrange so that you feel some connection to them. But that's really shallow. So, yeah, I think I know what Star Wars fans felt like now. Where it's just I'm watching this thing that I loved as a kid get turned into something to just make money. And it's just doing a really bad job of using the really awesome source material that exists. So I was disappointed.
I think we're all on that page.
Yeah. Let's see. So the very first scene, I will say some positive things. The very first scene had a really, really great image of what New York City looked like as like a magic deco city. I leaned over to Zach. I was like, this is what Gotham should look like. It looked really, really cool. So, you know, there's some good scenes as far as like how the cities looked. The costumes are always really fun. The acting was good, but they were just not given a lot of great stuff to work with.
Mm.
Given that this is a family movie and people probably aren't going to be as critical of it as we are, I would give it six times that I didn't give a fuck about Ezra Miller out of 10.
Zach, what about you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I liked it a little bit less than you guys. I think it is by far the worst Harry Potter movie.
Yeah.
But that's easy to do because Harry Potter is like, I like all those movies. I think they're all pretty good. I think, you know, that they had, there's a high bar to set. And I actually liked Fantastic Beasts quite a bit. And it's unfortunate that they couldn't create just a more simple plot around, you know, a smaller amount of characters that you care more about. Instead, we have all these tangential things that that aren't related to, like, our core group of characters that we're supposed to like. But there is a lot of really good things about it. Like you're saying, the acting, I thought the directing's really good. There just wasn't as many set pieces as I wanted. CG, the world building, Harry Potter's like a masterwork in world building. But yeah, it's the script, and the script sucks. So I got to give it like 4 out of 10. Dead WB franchises.
Yeah, the script absolutely does suck. And it's a shame because, of course, Rowling co-wrote the script herself.
Yeah. Well, did you read the Cursed Child whatever script? It was garbage, too.
I liked it. Okay. But she didn't write. I enjoyed it, but she didn't. She didn't write that. She was just story by.
Okay.
Yeah, there's two other guys who wrote it.
Well, it sucked.
Yeah. this is just. It's just a mess, and it seems like it's made by someone who has no idea how to structure a film. And sure enough, J.K. Rowling. I mean, this is her second one she's written. She hasn't written any other movies, and it's like, okay, maybe you should have worked a lot more closely with someone who has a lot of experience in actual screenwriting, because as it is, it does. It feels like someone who has no idea how to write a movie. There's no sense of – I couldn't even tell you what the division between acts, if there was any here at all. Yeah. It's just this – there's no peaks or valleys. It just goes, and you're like, okay, there you are. I think the CG is pretty darn good. I think the acting is all way up to snuff. I do think, however, I had problems with some of Yates' directing. I think some of the action scenes were extremely confusing to follow what was going on, and I know he knows better. We've seen him do badass magical combat with lots of characters. Like, the last two Harry Potters have, like, some badass scenes in there that he directed. And this, like, God, I couldn't even follow that whole opening scene where Grindelwald's escaping. I was like, what is happening in this?
That's why.
Like, I concede. You're right.
Yeah, that's why, like, you know, I think the guy's a really talented director, but it feels like he's just kind of maybe creatively out of steam.
Yeah.
This is the sixth one of these in a row he's made.
Yeah, there's a point you're just like, it doesn't matter how much money they pay you, especially when you've got a script like this and you're like, well, you can't really tell J.K. Rowling she's doing something wrong. It's like, well, someone needs to tell J.K. Rowling she's doing something wrong. You write the story and the ideas and then give it to someone who knows how to structure it into a script.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I hate to even say it, but it is, in fact, obviously pointedly true with this film. I thought it was somewhat true with the last one, which I still definitely did enjoy regardless, but it was at that point, I was like, this is my least favorite Harry Potter film, but I still really like it. Mm-hmm. This one is my least favorite now, and I don't really like it. I'm going to watch it again because I'm a Harry Potter dork.
And you got to learn the lore. So much.
I got to know all the lore because you got to watch at least twice to figure out what the fuck just happened.
20 Wikipedia pages or just watch this again?
Yeah, exactly. I'll be on Wikipedia while I'm rewatching. Yeah,
never has a movie needed pop-up video more than this one.
Exactly.
Please bring that back.
Exactly.
This movie actually has one of those. It has a fucking family tree.
That's right.
It does.
It has that shit.
Well, I'm going to give this 4 out of 10 kleptomaniac little mole thingies.
Oh, yeah.
A niffler.
A niffler. That's what it is. Okay. Now we know who the real nerd in the room is. Goddamn Ravenclaw. By the way, which house are you? You never said.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, why would I be wearing Ravenclaw shoes?
Oh, okay. So you are Ravenclaw. Well, there you go.
She's Slytherin.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well,
she would be wearing Ravenclaw
shoes? If she was Slytherin, she'd never tell you until it was too late.